I have something fun to read to you that I've wanted to read for a long time, and I think this is the morning to do it. This is something written by a man up in Thunder Bay, Ontario. His name is Adam Wood. He has since passed into the next life, and one of his dear friends read this story to a group of people, and I found it a really neat story, and I asked if I could borrow it and read it on the radio, and I got permission to do that from the family. So anyway, this is called The Expedition That Changed the World, or How Frank and I Went Around the Block When We Were Six, by Adam Wood. I remember my first trip around the world. I had just turned six, which, as you all know, is pretty much when life really begins. I called my friend Frank, and together we agreed that a full-blown celebratory expedition was in order. Frank and I had known each other from the day we were born. Literally, he was born one day after me, and as the younger of the two of us, I was legally required to agree to anything I came up with. He was a natural fit for an expedition companion. We had been through pretty much everything together. He-Man, trips to the candy store, beating up that annoying four-year-old Alex kid from across the street. Heck, we had even made it through grade one together. I knew that if there was one guy I could trust with my life, it was Frank. Also, we both had speech impediments, so nobody else would hang out with us. We picked our equipment carefully. I grabbed my bike. It was a sweet ride. Some may even call it a super cycle. Blue with coaster brakes, meaning I could do sweet skids and impress all the chicks. All the chicks being, at that point in time, Frank's older sister, Gail. But man, was she impressed. My ride also had a nice foam pad along the top tube to protect my nards in case of an accident, and another foam pad on the handlebars that read BMX, just in case there was ever any doubt. Frank chose his Big Wheels trike. Big Wheels, as those of us who are true 80s kids remember, were bikes made entirely out of high-grade space-age plastic. They were wicked on jumps, and when you went really fast, you could drift around corners, also impressing all the chicks. Again, meaning at that point in time, Gail. We ensured that we got the proper permission from our parents, consisting of reasoned and logical arguments, which in turn consisted primarily of foot stomping, door slamming, and repeated refrains of, "You don't love me." But eventually our parents were satisfied with our trip plans and with worried prayers sent us off with their blessing and a warning to be back by the time the streetlights came on, or else. We were now officially ready. Our route was simple. We would start at my house, go up the street past Frank's house, possibly stopping to skid and drift, depending on the presence of Gail's presence, and then we would head out. Our first waypoint was Ryle Avenue. We knew Ryle well. After all, it was on the way to school in the candy store. That would be no problem. After Ryle, though, it was unexplored territory. We stood on the corner of Ryle and Elmer for a long time, determining if indeed this was a challenge we were ready to accept. Were we willing to step over this threshold, leaving everything and everyone we knew and loved behind, and hoping and praying that we had the wits and luck to make it back alive? Also, we had engaged in a game of ball hockey with our friend Casey. After the last goal of the game, however, we were off. We headed down Elmer, slowly at first, then more rapidly as our confidence grew. This was a whole new world for us. The trees here were larger, the entire area was more wooded. Houses we had only ever seen from our backyards took on a whole new dimension, a whole new shape. The people in the front yards were different, too. They were strange, yet welcoming, different, yet friendly. They smiled and waved at us, as intrigued by our culture as we were of theirs. I checked my Swatch watch. We had approximately one more hour until the streetlights came on and we were due back. We pedaled on. We left Elmer and turned onto Norway, and that is when disaster struck. Frank was behind me, big-wheeling his way with gleeful abandon. I was in the front, grinning madly as the wind whistled through my golden locks. And then suddenly everything came crashing down. My coaster brakes locked up, possibly due to one skid too many. And Frank big-wheeled his way right onto me and into me, knocking me off my saddle and directly onto the nard-protecting foam-covered top tube. It failed its design duty. The pain was instantaneous, tears welling in my eyes and blood-curdling scream emanating from my mouth. Frank, well versed in first aid, sat awkwardly in his trike, choosing his speech impeded words wisely. Sometimes if I'm willy hurt, I thwear, then people know I'm hurt. Finally, after rolling around on the ground, grabbing and swearing as only a 6-year-old world explorer can, I suddenly realized that this time, Mom was not coming. Frank and I were on our own. The first street light came on, and I realized something. This was my time. The remainder of my life would hinge on this moment. This instant would define my very existence. Frank was bewildered, lost without my leadership. Sure, Meinhard's hurt, but he desperately needed a leader to believe in. And so, slowly, painfully, I stood up, picked my bike off the ground, and remounting. Turning to Frank, I looked him straight in the eyes and said simply, "All right, Frank, let's ride." 30 seconds later, we were home. And that is The Expedition That Changed the World, or How Frank and I Went Around the Block When We Were Six, by Adam Wood. Hope that was fun to hear. It was certainly fun to read.